Well, the Olympics are underway, and some of those elite athletes are no doubt familiar with hypoxic training. That's breathing in low oxygenated air, the kind you'd find at high altitudes. Athletes do it to increase red blood cells and performance. Climbers say it shortens the time they need to acclimate to higher altitudes. So how does it work? Well, we're about to find out in a workout room at Hypoxico, a New York-based company, where alpinist David Roski steps onto a treadmill and gets ready to pull on a mask with a long hose connected to an oxygen generator.
Let's go straight to 12. That way we'll get a really pronounced effect. You'll see how very quickly I'm going pretty deeply hypoxic. So why don't we get on here?
By 12, David means the generator will deliver him the same air he'd find at 12,000 feet. Thin, low oxygen, hard to breathe. On his finger, he wears a pulse oximeter, which measures his oxygen saturation. And at the start, it's normal, 99%, because in New York, at sea level, he's getting all the oxygen his body needs. David also has a personal Hypoxico mask and generator at home, along with a Hypoxico tent and generator. Now, they run about $3,000 to $4,000, and he sleeps in the tent at night when he's training for a climb. Hypoxico's Stan Pillman and Brian Bilius explain.
You know, if I'm at sea level in New York, I'm sleeping in a Hypoxico tent. Can I sleep at 8,000, 9,000 feet every night? And then maybe I get on a treadmill for 20 minutes and do, you know, high-powered repeat sprint performances.
So using the mask.
Using the mask.
So how many people are sleeping in tents that have a lower level of oxygen than the rest of their surroundings?
We have a lot of units out there. I mean, like, what, is it 10,000? I always get
there. There's thousands and thousands of units out.
So all over the world, there are people who are in a tent in their bedroom sleeping at high altitude, even if they're not at high altitude.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, mountain climbers, Olympic athletes, elite athletes. 2 seconds, a second can be the difference between meddling and not meddling. Then we found as studies grow and, you know, from Harvard to Emory University, our equipment is in there to perform studies on wellness, asthmatic patients, allergenics.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, as you start listing all the things that this little tent can do, you know, people are, you know, it's a miracle, and that it makes people skeptical, that it feels like snake oil. There's an Olympic physician who said, there's just no way you can get that much red blood cells in a couple of hours.
Right. It takes 4 to 6 weeks of sleeping to truly have a physiological change.
Which brings us back to David Roski on the treadmill, his face mask tethered to the oxygen generator.
I don't know if you guys can really understand me, but...
How do you feel?
I feel fine right now.
But as he takes in the low oxygen air, his blood oxygen level is dropping from 99% saturation to the 80s. It's getting harder to breathe.
And if a paramedic picked me up in the 80s or 70s, they would be very scared. Let's see if we can get into the 70s.
Definitely not a recommended. We wouldn't do this with someone who's never used our equipment. David is an expert alpinist.
Well, but do you ever worry that you might get addicted to this? Like, hey, let's see if we can go here. You couldn't stop.
Good question. There is an addiction to the high altitude experience. If you're a rational person, you balance that with the risk. And the risks are significant, so I want to live a long time. Now I'm breathing very hard.
Okay, you were just down at 73, 75. Are we okay here?
I think we've proved our point.
So now that I took this off, let's watch how quickly my blood oxygen saturation comes back up.
To 81. By the way, how do you feel?
You know, when you come out, it's always just like, oh, oxygen, it's wonderful. And you can feel a little loopy for a little bit. That's why medical professionals would never recommend going as low as I did right there. And that's why Hypoxico doesn't recommend people take it that quickly. But in my regular training, catching my breath, I also take a gradual ramp up as well.
But does it work? Well, elite athletes who, like David Roski, are clients of Hypoxico, think it does. Again, here's Brian Bilius and Stan Pillman.
Yeah, and then we just have also the clients that are out of town that if they're visiting, they'll come by and actually do a workout in the chamber and
just to get a hit off. a hit of high altitude.
Exactly, while they're away from home.
Michael Phelps was on 60 Minutes talking about how when he would wake up in the morning and open up the tent, and you know, you get hit with this huge, you know, burst of sea level air, you're just up and ready to go.
There's a couple hockey players we have out there that are with the Chicago Blackhawks. We have the Oakland Raiders. We have the U.S. men's soccer team. They have it now at a facility of theirs.
So LeBron James and Dwayne Wade have used the equipment. Kilian Jornet, who's one of the most, you know, well-known, famous alpinists, just went through the most insane acclimatization process to climb Everest. David, who's sitting here.
I love getting hypoxic, like low oxygen, anytime I can. By day, I am an analyst for an investment fund, picking stocks, and everything outside of work, I'm into big mountains and getting as high as I possibly can in altitude.
So when did you start using this equipment?
So I first got it, oh man, it must have been 6 or 7 years ago. In my apartment building, I have a treadmill, so I can just lug the generator down the hall, go to the gym and wear the mask and just hike at a slow pace, but get myself extremely hypoxic from that. I grew up in Loveland, Colorado, at near Denver's altitude, about 5,000 feet. And I would go back home to try to run 5Ks there. And I was always about a minute slower. I first got interested in the altitude tent and bought one to try to be pre-acclimated to run races back home. But then after that, I got interested in high altitude mountaineering and ended up using the tent to prepare for climbing Mount Everest 2 different times.
Did it work?
I had huge benefit from it. So most people spend about 7 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks on the whole trip, basically hiking up from base camp, which is already 18,000 feet, maybe to camp one or camp two, and coming back down. They do that multiple times to get acclimated. The worst cases of altitude sickness can result in high altitude cerebral edema, high altitude pulmonary edema. If you are acclimated, you know, a few people can make it up as high as the top of Everest without oxygen, which until Reinhold Messner first did that, doctors didn't think it was even humanly possible.
So here's people normally taking 7-8 weeks to get that acclimation. Right. How long did it take you?
So I arrived at base camp on May 3rd in 2013, and I summited 19 days later. And a big part of that is with my day job, I just couldn't ask for 2 months off.
Yeah, but most people, you were that acclimated when you got there.
I slept in the tent from March 17 through about April 20. So
here in New York.
Here in New York. And I would see, okay, what was my blood oxygen saturation? And then as my blood oxygen saturation started to creep up, then I would turn up the generator and go to a higher altitude. And by the end, I was actually sleeping at around 17,000 foot simulated altitude. The same amount of oxygen was available to me in the tent as I would have there at base camp. And then I flew over to Nepal and I did this very accelerated climb of it. I would just rest a couple days at a camp and then go up to another camp, rest a few more days. And that enabled me to do a super accelerated trip.
Did you use oxygen?
My real goal originally was to do it without oxygen. So a couple years later in 2016, I climbed 2 8,000-meter peaks, Cho-Oyu first, which is the sixth highest mountain, and then took a jeep ride over to Everest Base Camp and climbed Everest also without oxygen about 2 weeks later.
We're all laughing. We are all laughing. Everyone here is laughing because this is insane. You know what the questions are. There are people who say, well, wait a second. Isn't the objective when you climb something like Everest to spend those weeks acclimating, to have that full experience that everybody has? You're smiling.
So
the cheating, what you did, part of something that's changing the experience forever so that it won't be the challenge that it was.
It's extremely challenging no matter how you do it. But training with an oxygen, like a hypoxic tent beforehand, can help you as one part of a very arduous training process. Yeah. You can be there enjoying the experience a little bit more, I think, because you have a bigger margin of safety. But I think the biggest feeling that I had there was just utter gratitude. The weird idea that there's no place on earth that you can step higher.
Okay, where is she?
Where is she at right now? We're at about 11,000 feet.
Now, I was on crutches during that visit, long story. But producer Karen Miller-Medson, a marathoner who's run at altitude, gamely slipped on the mask, not for long.
I'm really feeling it. Just that little burst of running?
You're down at 77.
Okay, I'm going to take it off.
Yeah.
And now the mask is off. What are you feeling?
Oh, taking it off? My lungs just inflated with oxygen. It's day and night. Wow. That's just from a walk. Yeah, now it's back up to 93. Yes.
Wow, that was fast. Those are the sounds of our colleague Karen, hypoxic training at Manhattan's Hypoxico, where we spoke with alpinist David Roski, who credits his 19-day summit of Mount Everest without oxygen in part to his hypoxic training. We'll have pictures and David's video from the top of Everest at herenow.org, where we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. Have you tried it? Do you think it's cheating? Discuss.